Hello everyone, it's Melissa here on Audio Boo. Thankfully my voice is starting to clear up a little bit. In the morning I always have issues with congestion and even my throat's still a bit dry. But nevertheless, I am here. And I just wanted to come in and check on, just or let everyone know how things are going and check in, not check on, but check in with everybody. I've been hearing some audio boos from people. I browsed through some audio boos this morning, which was nice. And it's pretty much been a quiet morning. Thankfully, my ankle's a bit better. And what it really needed was just, both Advil and Tylenol joined forces last night, and that really helped. I could do Excedrin, but Excedrin makes me throw up. And Excedrin's mainly for headaches anyway, so. It could be for other aches and stuff, because I once took it when I had a toothache, and it was very helpful. But I can't take Excedrin. I don't feel all that great after taking it, so. Unfortunately, the most powerful stuff I have in my house that is non-prescribed. I do have a muscle relaxer lying around from when I had my neck spasms when I went to the ER. But that's I don't know, that makes me just a bit loopy. So and that wouldn't have solved the problem anyway, because this was a sore ankle from being too cold. If it gets too cold, because I broke my foot about 4 years ago, if it gets too cold, I still get sore ankles. But I'm a California girl, and I wear sandals a lot over here because of the heat. So if I'm in a cold area for too long, I kind of pay the price. Because I, my ankle gives me problems. Anyway, but yesterday was pretty interesting. I did my iPad training program. I'm having just a little bit of difficulty right now because the person doing the program doesn't exactly know what can and can't be done on an iPad with a disabled person. You can't get a totally blind person to use Zoom. That's just not possible. So she didn't really do her research. And I feel a little, rude for having to go over her. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to step on some toes, because you cannot teach a totally blind person who is slightly mentally disabled. You cannot teach them how to use the iPad in 6 weeks with only 1 hour training sessions with two people. So this is not going very well. And really it's not the clients that are doing it, although because both of them are mentally disabled, they do pose a little bit of a challenge, but it's not them, per se. She just doesn't know what disabled people need. You can't get somebody who's completely, totally blind to use Zoom, and I thought she would have known that, and I had to explain that to her and tell her, this part of the curriculum is not applicable to a blind person. Likewise, the voiceover gestures are not applicable to a partially sighted person using Zoom, because they don't need all those fancy gestures. And so I don't know. I really don't think she did her research. I was very upset, very frustrated yesterday, and I think that combined with the sore ankle really precipitated an evening that came into a lot of stress. But it seemed to calm down after a while, which was good. And I don't know if you could hear outside my window, because my windows are closed, because we have the AC on over here. Yes, we do. It was in the 90s yesterday, and, I do still sound a bit congested, but it was in the 90s yesterday, and It was rather hot, and that's why I wore sandals. But when you're in a very cold place, even sometimes this house can get cold. But I cannot turn off the AC because if it gets too hot, my husband literally overheats. He gets really hot. He gets sick, throwing up, that sort of thing. So when it gets too hot outside, we have to keep the AC on. Thank God for Snuggies. Let me tell you that. I always keep my Snuggie and my computer close by so I could just curl up under the Snuggie and use my computer. For those who don't know what a Snuggie is, it's a blanket, but it has sleeves. Now, interesting thing is with my mom always gets cold. She's extremely thin. In fact, one of my uncles described her as malnourished. No, I just think she's really thin. And then, of course, she has multiple sclerosis, so that, she goes through a lot. She's very tired, but she's always cold, and she's always been like that. And somebody got her a Snuggie, and I always call them Snugglies because Snuggie just seems like to be a weird word. I say a Snuggly because you can snuggle up under them. So, but a Snuggly, obviously, a Snuggly is a... what I call a baby bag. You put it on you and it's like a snuggly. You put your baby inside of it. So your hand's free, but the baby is pretty much being carried inside this bag that's close to you so they can snuggle up with you. Aww. But that's pretty much what happened there. So But my mom, she got her snuggie, that's what it's technically called, but I say a snuggie. She got hers, and she thought that you wrap the blanket around you from the back, and you put it on like a giant robe, which is not true, like a giant jacket. I guess you could, but it'd be kind of hard to walk. But really, what you're supposed to do is put the blanket on over you, in the front of you, and slide your arms through the sleeves like sort of like snakes. You just kind of slide them in front of you and just let the blanket rest. And then, of course, you just wrap the rest of your body in a blanket. And whether you're sitting down or lying down, they're very comfortable. What I like about them is that they're thin. They're not like huge, heavy blankets. Because out here, especially when it's 90-some degrees, although it does get cold in this house and I do get a sore ankle, it was very sore last night. I had a hard time walking on it. It was bad. But even if it was, 90 degrees outside, I was wearing one of those, but they're so thin and lightweight and they're very comfortable. I love them. Anyway, so last night I had an interesting experience, and I'll explain it a little bit. I explained it pretty much in my blog post, but for those who are sighted, you may come across a photograph of a face of a person that you may or may not have seen in the past, but the face calls out to you. It's almost as if they're captivating. And it's touching your soul, making you pay attention to the details of the face, making you pay attention to what is so important about the person's face, about the photograph of this person. Sometimes you experience that and it totally captivates you. Well, for me, since I can't see, I do voices. And sometimes I will hear a person's voice who I may or may not have heard in the past, who I may or may not have met. And that's kind of what the situation is. Sometimes you may have heard the voice in the past, but you may not know the person. And sometimes you may have seen this person in a magazine or on TV or something, but you don't know them. Or you could know them. So this voice I've heard many times in the past, but I was watching a couple of documentaries, and the second one really got to me, because I won't say the documentary or the name of the voice, because, you know, I'll do the research myself and find out who it is. But I have found that using different stuff online, you know, you'll be able to find out. But this person has narrated many, many documentaries, especially from National Geographic and stuff like that in the past, specifically in the 90s. And they have, their voice has been very, I wouldn't describe it as someone who sounds old, not at all, but I describe them as a person of wisdom, and I don't even know the person. Some voices are very warm, compassionate, caring, peaceful, soothing, gentle voices to listen to, and they are very good narrators. Last night, I remember him talking about caring for wildlife and how we should, you know, take great care in our wildlife, you know, because I'm a firm believer that God made all the creatures so that we don't have to be alone. And when he said, you know, let's take care of the wildlife so we don't have to face loneliness as the only species. Of course, I don't agree with a lot of the National Geographic's talking about evolution. That's evolved into nothing, in my opinion. But this documentary was done in the mid-90s, so it's quite old. But I must say that the voice just captured me, just hearing that voice. And I don't know why it happened, but I've heard this voice so many times before. But when I heard him talking about, you know, that nature can be beautiful, it has its caring and compassionate side, and when he talked about such very valuable, beautiful things, I was immediately drawn to the sound of his voice and what a tender-sounding person he may have been. And I just immediately started crying. And the reason why, I cry when I see a lot of my documentaries. I remember I cried when I saw this documentary on the Titanic and how many lives were lost. Because to me, the movie The Titanic was cool, but the documentary is really what fascinated me. I'm very fascinated with boats and ships and the water. And to begin with, I actually, as a teenager, had a dream that I was going to date either a sailor or an astronaut. I was either going to be by sea or by land. Not by sea or by air. So I was either going to be underwater or out of this world. I was a very adventurous soul, and I still am. But obviously I don't have dreams of dating a sailor or an astronaut, because I don't even have dreams of dating. I'm married, so... pardon me, the noise upstairs is unbelievable. I have some noisy neighbors. But I have boats and ships and the water and, you know, space stuff really fascinated me. If you could, I've always been interested in oceanography and astronomy when it comes to science when I was much younger. Now, I forgot a bazillion of the things that they taught us in school that dealt with oceanography and astronomy. I haven't immersed myself back into scientific literature. I've been so busy. But, you know, when it comes to literature, you can probably narrow my interest down to genetics, astronomy, murder mysteries, and the paranormal. So those are the four subjects that I grasp on to when it comes to genetics and astronomy and all that stuff, and reading about the different plagues that have, you know, especially the bubonic plague, you know, reading about that, and then reading about genetic research that some people who were immune to the bubonic plague they say are also immune to the HIV virus. And there's some sort of gene. I can't remember exactly. I can't quote literature because this was something I read a long time ago. And about something about the European descendants, some of them having a gene where they're immune to the plague. Because as our body was trying to adapt to all these different dangerous diseases, our body was trying to adapt to the environment and create immunities. And some people apparently were immune. And they're also immune to AIDS, which is quite fascinating. Although I'm totally going off topic and I'm totally rambling and I'm totally just talking about complete nonsense. But I'm very fascinated in nature, in documentaries. I'm a documentary buff. In fact, that's the only reason I purchased a Netflix subscription, is to be connected to documentaries and some crime shows and blah, blah, blah. But that's the interesting thing about that. I heard that voice last night and it instantly captivated me. And I was taken, I towards the end of the documentary, because of being, you know, taking pain meds and lying there with my ankle elevated and just resting, I began to get exhausted and I began to fall asleep, and I began to imagine just being near that person as they spoke. They had a voice of warmth, and the voice of warmth and compassion was really nice, and comforting. And I imagine being near that person. And just feeling like, I began to think about, what if, you know, I wonder if this person who narrated these documentaries, if they had any kids. Because if they did, I can imagine what story time must have been like. You know, narrators jump out and they captivate me. You have to be a good narrator for me to pay attention. This is not just for a documentary, but it's for an audiobook. When someone uses their voice and projects compassion and warmth when they talk about life, or when there's mystery and they use suspense and they use their voice and project that emotion, you can feel that. And when a narrator on a documentary talks about life, talks about the planet, and shows so much compassion when talking about it, it immediately takes me to another place. Think about what life must have been like for his kids as he sat there and read the stories to them and held them and talked to them. And when I hear voices, I try to build images in my mind about what this person must have been like. Not what they must have looked like, but a voice can give you an intro into a personality. And the personality for this person was a man of wisdom, a man that must have been a great teacher. And I don't know what he was in his true lifetime. Maybe he was primarily a narrator. Maybe he was primarily a person who had, you know, problems with drinking and or dealt with stuff in his life. Who knows? I really can't say. I don't know the person, but I can say this. Voices that are so compassionate and warm and caring do have an effect on me. And if you read, I speak of more about this in my blog, Voice of the Soul, in my blog post that I did last night. I talked about the voices or things. I even gave a theory as to why I think that voice tugged at my heartstrings last night. because I think it has something to do with a person that I had dreamt about in the past. That's the kind of voice that they had. I don't know what it was, but that voice just stuck out at me. Not that many narrators do that. Some of them have great, great voices when you read suspense novels, but even a great, amazing suspense narrator doesn't really stick out like that for me. It's when you talk about such tender and caring subjects, when you talk about life, when you talk about the human culture, when you talk about positive things and you put so much compassion and care and love into whatever you're narrating, into whatever you talk about. It can really bring out an amazing effect. Even suspense documentaries, some people just have this voice that are so soft, and they don't normally stick out at me, but they will kind of lull you to sleep because they have voices that are so soft. Even if they were, what was that one that talked about strange, unusual deaths or strange deaths or unusual deaths or something. I don't know how, but anyway, even that documentary, I listened to it and I thought, wow, that person's voice is making me sleepy. It's like almost the voice is so soft and tender. And even though their voice is projecting loud enough for you to hear them and to hear what they say, there's a softness and a tenderness about it. So, you know, voices are very, very interesting.
8, 6.
I think I'm going to entitle this boo partially because I shared other thoughts, not just particularly about voices, but let your voice be heard, or something about voices. Because a voice really, I don't think this just applies to people who are blind, but a voice really kind of explains, it, you know, the kind of person that you're talking with. It doesn't define the person who you're talking with, because if somebody has a really high-pitched voice and or shakes a lot when they talk, that doesn't mean that the person is automatically nervous or that they're strange. Or a voice does not define an individual, but a voice explains an individual to me. I can understand and I listen to voices with a lot of great empathy, with a lot of compassion. Because behind that voice is a soul. And that's why I entitled my blog Voice of the Soul, my blog post last night. Behind that voice is a soul. People always say the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, I believe your voice is more than a window. It's a door. It's almost an invitation. The door may not always be open, but you know that there's a door there. Maybe it might be open just ajar, enough to let in some thoughts, to let some things go. But a voice is more of an invitation to get to know the person. What kind of voice do you think you have? Do you have a voice that projects warmth, care, compassion, kindness? What kind of voice do you have? It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what race. It doesn't matter what accent you have. It does not matter. Your voice is what truly matters. Every human has the capability to change their voice, especially with narrators. Narrators are so good with this. when there are suspensive quotes or things happening, they can change their voice. That gives you that kind of chill factor when you listen to them. There are times when you need to add a little bit more emotion into your voice. That's why I always fell asleep in history class. I have to confess, I fell asleep in history class a lot. Because sometimes the teacher had this monotone kind of voice. And when this happened in 19 blah blah blah, blah 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 blah. When teachers do that kind of lecture with a monotone voice, it gets so boring. Now, I'm not saying that a teacher should stand up in front of the class and go, "This is what happened in this year!" No, not exactly like that. I think a voice needs to be controlled. And when you are wanting to entice your audience, when you're wanting to engage the attention of your audience, for them to listen to you, especially when you're doing a lecture or when you're doing something, you need to put some life into your voice. Not, "Good morning, class. How is everyone doing today?" No, you come in and you say, "Good morning, class. How is everyone today?" You're not yelling. You're not screaming. You're putting life into your voice. The life of a voice. What's it like? Is it filled with many ups and downs? Do you get excited or do you mellow out the ups and downs? Is it just purely monotone like this, where you pretty much have no feeling, no explanation, nothing, just a plain old voice? Or does it have life? Does it come to life when it needs to? Does it tone down when there needs to be moments of quiet meditation? I've been told that I have a soothing voice. I have a meditative voice. And that's possible. But it's not just the voice, it's what you do with it. Do you add an emotional element into it? Do you add a special component? I think that's what makes the human voice so special. The life of a human voice.
Time remaining, 2:17.
I don't have much time left, but this post, obviously, I began with just sharing some random thoughts, but the life of a human voice. It's an interesting thing to ponder. Our voice is an invitation to see what's deep down in our soul. The words we speak, they're not just words that fall from the sky and land in our mouth. They're words from a true human being. And unless you show some life in your voice, unless you show some emotional element, even if it is a sad element, there's no need to yell, there's no need to scream. The volume of your voice can speak many great things, but it doesn't have to matter. When you want to speak to someone, you add some life into your voice. You don't just say, "I went to the movie yesterday and we had a good time and we, you know, did this, blah, 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 blah." Well, yeah, that's general talk. But if you really want to engage the attention of somebody and you want them to listen to you, add a little bit of life into that voice. Instead of saying, "I went to the movies yesterday and I had a good time and I got to spend the day with a couple of friends and we went out to lunch," you say, "I went to the movies today. I had a wonderful time, and I got to spend some time with my friends, and we enjoyed a fantastic lunch." I'm not saying use big, ginormous vocabulary words, but put some emotional element into that. If you were excited, show it with your voice. If you're excited, if you're stressed, then take a few deep breaths and say, "I've had a rough day today. It's been a very tough day today, but I know I'll make it through. Don't over-dramatize it.